Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Sharp Tank, no jumper, sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I got an honor. We got one of my homies in the building, man. We got my man Juice from Flatbush Zombies.
It's an honor.
Man.
Thank you.
Real deal, Holyfield, man. Like, your resume really check out. And it was cold to meet you at Apartment 200 that night, man. You know what I'm saying? Just meeting y'all and just being in the atmosphere, man. It was cool, yeah, man.
We were actually celebrating 10 years of Better Off Dead, which is our classic mixtape, Flappy Zombies mixtape, Better Off Dead. So we were celebrating the 10 years of that mixtape that night.
It was popping in there that night, man.
It was good. Ryder brings out the people. I brought like 20 with me, and we just had a good time.
It's always a good vibe when I hit West Hollywood, man, and get to go hang out. You know, man, It's always, me personally, what I love a diverse crowd. Like, I love being around diverse crowd. Like, it's a little bit of everybody.
A little bit of everybody. You don't want to just be saying? There pocket looking at you.
Yeah,
staring.
You don't want to be the out. I don't want to stand out. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be able to blend in amongst us. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a cool experience, man, to go up over there, man, because it's a lot of diverse people, man.
That's why I like it. It's decent. It's safe. It's diverse. It's cool. It's cool. I just hate it because it's like the place to go now. Apartment 20 is always.
Yeah, bro, cool. I'm not going to lie to you. It definitely. It's blown up now. It was the shit, right? Like, that was a spot you know you could go to. You can kind of dress however you want to. You know, church, and you can kind of.
And our homies at the door.
Homies are at the door. You know what I'm saying? It's messed up, bro, because I can't believe, man, shout out to my homie that be wearing the hat, man. I can't believe he got shot in the leg, man. They around and popped him. I heard their whole security team quit. The whole security team quit, man.
Oh,
but it's all good, though, because I went back, just to go see what happened, like, all the Usos running in now, so they cool. Oh, they family,
Simone's
too.
Simone's up there now?
Simone's up
nice.
There now.
Okay.
You know, they ready to hit whatever.
Balls. Knocking them out.
ready for whatever. So I just hate that, because I really like that spot, man, and it seems like everything that's good, some always happens.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't got to bring a gun back.
Juice, talk to me, man. Tell me where
God
you
is
from,
good.
Man.
God is good. I'm from Flatbush. I'm a little emotionally drained at this exact second because for the last 3 days, I've been talking about Israel and Palestine to my friend groups nonstop, and it is draining. So that's why I'm a little out of it. Cause it started at 9 o'clock, woke up to like 500 messages. And we're not going to get too deep into that, but it's just like, oh my God.
It seems like everybody that's in it don't really want to talk too much about it.
Don't want to talk too much about it.
They don't want to go overboard. They don't want to piss a friend off that may have certain beliefs, because it's definitely been controversial.
It has been. And I don't agree with anyone killing anyone. And it just like sucks that you got to pick a side or something, but you don't have to. And I hate that people are pressuring celebrities or famous people to pick a side. Sucks.
Yeah, because they were doing that. I believe they did that to Drake and DJ Khaled.
That's what they said on Breakfast Club, right?
Yeah, they were wondering why they didn't say anything.
They don't got to. God, right. Leave them alone.
Right.
But I'm from Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's like the melting pot, kind of the melting pot of New York, Brooklyn, I would say.
Yeah.
Flatbush specifically. We got Dominicans, we got Puerto Ricans, we got Mexicans, we got Haitians, we got Jamaicans.
So it's
we got Trinidadians.
Well.
It has everything you can think of. Even my son, he's half Guatemalan.
Wow. Like that.
So we have everything in there, and I'm grateful for growing up in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I was so grateful we put in our group name, Flatbush.
Right, Flatbush you know Zombies, man. I've grown to know that. To know that you guys have been knowing each other since you guys were young.
Yeah, man. So I met Meech in the third grade. He had got kicked out of school. His school was terrible. I think it was PS 181. That's like in the hood, like Vanderveer Projects around that area.
Yeah.
And he went to my school, which is like, I'm on Avenue I. We went to PS 119, that's Avenue K. So he had a little trek to get over there, but I met him in there. And we were the different kids kind of in that school. We bonded over like video games and like being the only kid, only childs. And then Meech introduced me to Eric, and they lived on 31st Street. And 31st Street was also where I grew up too. My family lived in 31st Street and Beverly, on Newkirk, and they lived on 31st and Beverly. So the whole time I was literally a block away from them. Yeah. I didn't really know.
Yeah, was so, you wasn't in the gangs and nothing like that, gang politics? Was you gangbanging growing up?
No, not me. I'm not a gangbanger. I'm a street I'm not a gangbanger. There's a difference. There's a difference. You know, but shout out to all my homies, all the homies that they do it. Yeah. I'm more of a street hustler. I'm a street hustler.
I was just curious, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, coming from Brooklyn, you know, some rough neighborhoods over there, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think anywhere they kind of almost force you to pick a side.
They do. And my neighborhood was mostly Crip. And right. I was able to have colored hair and walk around Flatbush and have a pocket of money and sell drugs and be safe the whole time.
What was up with the colored hair, man?
The colored hair?
Yeah,
I'm gonna come clean, honestly.
Come clean.
2010 Fashion Week, and I wanted to do something different, and I was like, nobody's gonna dumb enough to dye the hair.
Yeah.
Because that's stupid. I mean, that looks weird, and no one wants to do that. So I did that 2010, and I never looked back. So we're 13 years in, and I want to say that I kind of helped start that trend. Period.
So you've been dying for 13 years.
Yeah, I was literally the first dumbass to do that. I did it just to be a dumbass, just a troll. And actually, I look good. I look handsome with blonde hair. So I just kept doing it.
It was just a troll move. You know what I'm saying? It was an accident that just happened to stick with you.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think literally before that, the nigga Ron Artest had did it at a Laker game or something. I was like,
yeah.
Hmm.
And that's crazy.
Crazy.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. Like, if you probably walked up on Ron Artest and like tried to roast him about his colorful hair.
Yeah.
He's liable to take off on you.
Oh, yeah. Queensbridge.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
Queensbridge. He's the man.
Yeah,
he's a legend. He's a legend.
He's definitely one of me. You had the honor to meet him?
No, but I got to meet Stephon Marbury once. That's another New York legend in basketball.
That's
but
dope. Yeah. Mom, I remember Marbury, the Marburys.
Yeah, them cheap ass. They worked. Niggas wearing them in Brooklyn playing ball. They worked.
Really? Niggas wearing them.
We were getting roasted, but they didn't care.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did it as like a troll move, but I actually ended up liking it. I've always been into fashion. We always collected sneakers. That's one of the first things I ever sold was sneakers.
Yeah.
Buying SBs, buying Jordans, flipping them. That's how I even kind of met this man right here, Barlow's. We've been friends. This was the first I ever met in LA. We've been friends since I was 14, 15. Like when I had my first kid. Well, not that 15, or had my first kid, I was 17, but. Selling packs across the water, flying.
So you've been in the fashion though. It seems like for a long time. Like it seems like that's a big piece of your passion, other than just the music.
Yeah, we don't get too much credit for that no more. But yeah, we definitely.
What was some of the like first pieces you remember? Like you said, man, this is it right here. Like I'm liking this. Like this
the first pair of SB Dunks that I bought, I think, straight cash was the Dinosaur Juniors, and I was so hype to get those. It was like these silver joints with little purple hints on them, and they were like kind of funky. Like who's gonna wear silver shoes or whatever? But those were like the first joints I actually bought, and from there I just started selling. And Flatbush Zombies is a part of a bigger group called the Beast Coast, and Beast Coast is Joey Badass and Pro Era.
I f- with Joey Badass.
The Underachievers and Flatbush Zombies, and the Underachievers are like my best friends. One of the group members, his name is Issa. And Issa, I used to not smoke weed. I used to like be like Malcolm X in the hood. I used to be like, you guys are smoking. You guys are terrible. You guys, black power. What the f*** wrong with you? You got poison in your minds. And I must have been like 16 years old. And this dude, Issa, we bonded over like sneakers crazy. And this dude, Issa, was like, yo, if you just smoke one joint with me, I'll get you these three bear lows. It was like these SB Dunks, like fur on them, like called the three bears. He said, I know you need three bear lows. If you smoke this one joint with me, I'll get you them. And I had to think about it. I really want those sneakers.
I think I've seen those before. Have you seen the ones that kind of look like the Grinch that got the long them SBs too, right?
Yeah.
Money that they want for some of these shoes is insane.
It's insane.
It is, man.
It's insane. The market's f***ed up these days with SBs in general, but it's insane.
Well, it's a popular shoe.
Yeah.
SBs are a popular shoe. And to believe like it was just a skate shoe. That's all it really was that Nike dropped and just all of a sudden here it goes. What's the most have you ever paid for a pair of SBs?
$1,000.
Come on.
Like
man.
A dumbass, yeah.
You got nice ass Louis on your feet. That's a few more hundred, you're grabbing those.
Literally. I mean, that's what I've been on lately. You're just trying to like I try to buy stuff that don't have too much logos on it, but it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, I always believed in, like, the real shit to me, like, I don't really know if somebody's wearing something real or wearing something fake. Ooh. When you see the design all over the clothing, like, it's supposed to be tasteful.
Supposed
you know
be tasteful.
What I'm saying? Supposed to buy, I'm not supposed to notice what it is until I get all the way up on you and be like, oh, shit.
That's when it could get tacky.
it makes it look tacky when I notice what it is from far away. I don't know if I'm the only person that kind of does that.
No, because a lot of these rich rapper niggas, they just throwing a bunch of expensive shit and they look tacky because they put all these logos together. And it's like, it don't mesh.
Like, I like something that the logo's hella small in the corner, like the YSL hat that you have on. Yeah. That's classy. That's
the classic new era logo.
It ain't got it everywhere all over the damn hat. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, who are you trying to prove something to at that point?
Exactly. Right? I'm on the same level. I feel that way.
Yeah. What kind of clothes do you like? Like, what do you like? You seem like a guy that can go thrifting very well. Like, you know how to go find some shit.
Back in the day, yeah. The infamous dollar shorts. Shout out to everybody that knows about the infamous dollar shorts in my friend group. We shared like these dollar shorts for like 8 years, but they just like,
what the fuck?
We found it at a thrift store in Flatbush. Yeah.
And that's funny. Not to mention, y'all just kind of passed them around. Like,
mm-hmm. And shout out to the legendary Nick shorts that was passed around. Shout out to all the bitches that knew about the Nick shorts.
Where does a guy like Juice like to shop today? Like, what do you like? Where do you like to
go? I'm boring as fuck now.
A couple of your favorite stores.
I'm boring as fuck now. I just go to Louis, go to Dior. My niggas in Japan, Magic Stick, my brand, Talking Terps.
I
was going to come here in a Flatbush shirt and shorts, and then my shorty was like, you're stupid. And I said, fuck you. Okay, I'm genuine. Thank you for waking me up this morning.
Why did she say that? Why do you feel like she said that'd be stupid? Like, why? I don't get it.
She was like, how you gonna go there and look like you about to walk the dog? I said, damn, baby.
You know what? Hey, I'm a firm believer in come however makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's what you felt like coming in, bro, hey, be our guest. You know what I'm saying? I want you comfortable. I don't want you to feel like you gotta, oh shit, I gotta dress up. I gotta do, because that ain't really you. And I feel like if you're not dressing like you, how are you going to be able to, you know, bring that out?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
But she made a good point. Some of y'all crowd don't know me that well. So I thought I was just going to hang out. So I was like, all right, some of these kids don't know Flatbush like that. They don't know us. So let me just come in for formal gear.
Well, it seems like a lot of people know you because you guys have been on the map for quite some time. Mm-hmm.
I used to get mad at Adam. Not necessarily you, but I used to get mad at Adam and them when people bring up Flatbush Zombies on the show. And they were like, what the fuck is, I don't know Flappy Zombies. That, who are they? I was like, fuck you guys. I'm never coming to No Jumper. Fuck you guys, man. Because like, how the fuck? Because I feel like that's the story. People act like they don't know Flappish. People act like haven't been doing this independent movement and pushing the genre so fucking far. And people act like that. So anytime I hear that, I get so bothered. But that's me. I have to grow up.
Where do you feel like Flatbush Zombies like push the barrier? Where do you feel like you separated yourself?
Being yourself, man. Being yourself and not caring, like you said.
Yeah.
Just being yourself and not caring. Like, we went out there, didn't care what anybody said, did ourselves, told our message. When we came out, no one was talking about experimenting with psychedelics that much. No one dyed their hair. No one had to go crazy fronts like that. It was only the ASAP Mob, the TDE, and the... What's the future?
Right,
and
our future.
We were the thing that pushed this whole culture forward to being yourself. All the new rappers, all the new guys.
So you're pretty much saying
you can talk if you want. I want you to talk.
Being non-controversial, you could say 6ix9ine copied us.
6ix9ine copied us.
I was about to say, these are all your babies.
Yes, sir.
These are all your babies.
Yes, sir. In a sense, yes, sir.
Like, if you really think about it, like, some of the ones that are coming up now, like, so for people to say they don't know the fuck you are, they should know, because your style and the way that you guys have, you know, owned yourself to the world, it shows everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And even, like, the dark tone of music, like, I'm more of the light in the group. Yeah. My partner, Meech, he's the fucking king of death. He's the dark guy. And a lot of those kids took notes, man.
Yeah.
Took notes, man. But it's cool. I grew up out of that. I used to be... Fucking 5-6 years ago, I used to feel away. But, you know, it took time to grow up and know, like, your place in life and know what you're doing. And I'm good with that. I'm good with knowing that I'm a vessel.
It's funny to see now that all these little kids I see moving through West Hollywood and dressing like this, you're one of the people who set the tone.
Yeah.
Pretty much one of the founders of it. You can say, yeah, y'all was calling this shit weird back then. Now
bro,
look at y'all. Y'all was calling this shit weird as fuck back
I say
then.
I died for your sins. That's how I like to say. I say in a rap, I died for your sins so you could do it.
Yeah.
Because when we had to do it, we had to go through the grimiest niggas in New York talking, who the fuck are these weird niggas doing this shit?
Yeah.
But we have the resume and the stats to prove we're weird, but we are just as much Flatbush or street as any other nigga out here doing it. But we just had to prove that shit. And it took a lot.
I love to see, like, my culture being able to, like, set a trend in other. I don't know how to really say it because I don't want to say it without, like, offending people.
Mm.
But, like, I just love to see like my culture be able to come into somebody else's culture and reign supreme. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like y'all kind of dropped in over in a whole nother culture where y'all got all the little white boys, all the Mexican kids, everybody. It's a melting pot of people.
And I love that you said the Mexican part because a lot of people would think that it's just white boys. No.
These
Mexican homies out here
ride
for us and they are buying albums. They buy albums.
Did my research.
They're the real number one Flabby Zombie fans, low key. For real. So I'm happy you mentioned that.
Yeah. When's the last time you did a show?
Luckily, talent is God. Laura was actually at the last show, one of the last shows I did 2 weeks ago. I just did like my own solo set for the first time. I opened up for an artist named Prof, and Laura fucks with Prof, so she was there.
Well, Prof is a really good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I fuck with Prof. I was the person that brought him through here for an interview.
Oh, nice, nice,
I did an interview with him a while back. So
yeah.
He's a good friend of mine, man. His music, he goes crazy.
He does.
You wouldn't think that he get down like he does.
He does.
Because of his look.
He does.
You know? But that dude is more diverse than I see anybody.
And that's part of why I took the deal. His manager, Adam Skrull.
That's a good person to open up for, bro.
Brood, he took me to a whole new fan base. I was opening up in front of people that didn't really know me, and that was a blessing. Because now I get to spread messages with new people. And now those new people saw me rap, and they went to the merch table and bought CDs. So that means that it worked. And I told Prof I'm here for the team, and I rocked out every night with him. We went to war every night.
Juice, how did it feel to, like, do it by yourself? Like, how was that moment?
At first, it was nerve-wracking because it's so easier to have two other people by your side helping you, whether it's on the raps or live on stage. We're one of those groups that actually rap our words while we're rapping. There's no MP3 in the background, so it means a lot to have them there saying those words or me saying their words. So when I had to do it alone, and then when I had to do it with my homeboy Trav, who's really our merch man, who's not really our DJ, I had to do that whole solo tour with not a traditional DJ. That was fun too. But there's no like real mistakes in life. It's just learn and keep going.
Yeah.
So that was fun, like just getting it from the ground up type shit.
So you're like, was that your first time ever performing without your group?
Besides that, it was April 20th at the Peppermint Lounge. I did my first solo set. I had singers. Yeah. I did acoustic shit. I did the hip hop shit. We went all with it.
Because you know that at that point, it's all on your back. It's could go in the back and powwow into who fucked up tonight. Fucked you know up. What I'm saying? Yeah, who fucked this shit up tonight?
There's been moments.
You know, and I'm sure there's been moments in the locker room where like,
yes,
hey, bro,
I love the locker room, yes.
You fucked that shit up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And your looks have becoming a fucking problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, God.
We can't do this shit no more, man. We got to step it up. So for you to be able to go and hit the stage and like, by yourself, I know, man, there was a million butterflies in you.
It was, but you know, as a performer or just anything, maybe you on your first week here, you was a little, once you walked in the door, but once the light went on, it went away.
Yeah.
It went away. You was just moving and grooving, and that's how I see. You might have a little bit of nerves, but once intro, it's gone. You just.
Well, I feel like it's like this, right? And maybe I'm saying, give me some insight if I'm wrong.
Mm.
It's got to be different, like when you're going up there by yourself, it's like starting over.
Oh,
it's almost.
I tell everybody I started over.
Yeah, it's a form of starting over, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You like smoking weed, huh? You love weed?
Yeah, I tried to get you some shit because I have a brand called Talking Terps.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my partner Hope Lord and Philip Annan, we have this dope weed lifestyle, home goods, everything. It's called Talking Terps. And I be seeing all the cool shit, and y'all always had the Zushi up here before. So I was like, fuck, I need to get him some pads, something.
Yeah,
I didn't have no gifts.
With Zushi. Shout out to Zushi. I fucked with, Tenco, actually.
You know
what I'm saying? Because Tenco was, Big Stacks. They were the ones, shout out to Stacks. They were the ones that actually put out the Zushi. So I had the blue Zushi, I had the yellow Zushi, I had the Wasabi, I had the Zoi.
Oh, you're up to date.
Yeah, I'm up to date. Like, I've smoked them all. You know what I'm saying? The Domino, when they dropped that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I love weed, most definitely.
And the brand is called Talking Terps. And for those of you that love weed, terps are short for terpenes. And terpenes is what gives all the plants in existence its smell and psychological properties. So when we're smoking weed, I don't want to smoke some weed that tastes like I'm just smoking Backwood or Vanilla Dutch. I want to smoke some shit that has flavor. So I named the brand Talking Terps.
Right.
Because we're talking flavor. We're trying to taste the good shit. We're going to get high regardless if we got to smoke 1 to 5. But we want to taste and it'll be pleasant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pleasant.
That's why I don't smoke blunts.
Yeah, I'm
I smoke
vegan.
Nothing but joints.
Yeah, I'm vegan.
I smoke nothing but papers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to everyone that does, but we're vegan.
No,
we're vegan.
Geez, they're on. But like, why I start smoking joints was because I wanted to taste the weed.
Welcome.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know, like, you put my shit in a flavored ass blunt, I'm tasting more flavor than I am anything.
Or more tobacco than anything.
Yeah, like, I don't want to taste that shit. I mean, like I said, I smoke cigarettes already.
I'll smoke a cigarette alone.
Yeah, I'll smoke that shit alone. Fucking Donnie and them, they be fucking rolling spliffs. I come in the morning, Donnie's fucking breaking down a big-ass pile of spliff.
Yeah.
So they can start getting them going. I've never understood that shit, by the way, Donnie, and maybe we'll have a conversation about that later.
Grab-a-tings.
Yeah, I never really understood that. But like I said, with like weed, man, I've always wanted to taste it. I got to definitely taste your dro, man. I want to see what you got going, what you got brewing.
We got we don't have anything legal. I was more trying to get you hooked up on the merchandise tip and the home goods tip, but
well,
I'm going to get you.
I just want to smoke with you. It's not, hey, it's not selling if you're giving.
Amen.
If you give it to somebody,
amen,
you can't say anything. We're just passing weed around. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to put this out here. Your homie, he said he was a fan. What was the homie that works right here with the white shirt on?
That is Mikey, I believe.
Shout out Mikey. Mikey told me him and his friends bonded over Flatbush Zombies and Acid back in 2016. And I was telling him, I love those stories, but I also hate those stories. I love those stories because I like that we can help open people's minds to new things and new ways of thinking. But I don't like those stories when it becomes a story of trauma or tragedy where you take these things too far. And he told me that, you know, for a moment he had to lay over those things and kind of get into focus again. And now he's on to microdoses. So I just wanted to put this down here. These are microdoses. I just wanted to put that there.
Yeah, we microdosing. What is this? Let me see.
This is probably the Molly or the Candy Flip. Candy Flip means Molly and LSD in one. But it's like a little cute little whoop, and you spray it and you get the microed in.
Where do you spray it at? Your mouth?
Yeah, I wouldn't tell you to do that right now. That's the Candy Flip one. I don't want you to do that. That means it's MDMA in the acid. I would like give you some.
What the fuck do you got going on, buddy?
They call me the hood scientist. I'm the hood scientist for real. But I just wanted to put it out there for fun. Shout out my niggas.
Yeah.
It's not my brand, but shout out my niggas.
Your shroom?
I mean, that.
You seem like that was probably one of the first things you picked up from a kid.
Yeah.
Knowing you, bro, you fuck with some shit.
There wouldn't be Flabber Zombies if it wasn't for a shroom trip or two. There wouldn't be the Beast Coast Movement if it wasn't for a shroom trip or two. And there wouldn't be a lot of this bullshit if it wasn't for that damn shroom trip. So shout out my nigga Issa, Underachievers. We did that.
Man, bro. Yeah,
for the East Coast. I don't know what y'all niggas was doing over here. I ain't talking that much shit. But on the East Coast, we did that.
So you saying you like that your music did like influence happy highs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're not one to be like everybody crashed the fuck out, still listen to my music. Mm-hmm. No, if that's fucking you up, man. You know, I feel like you promote the healthy side of it.
And then people just take weirdness or craziness or whatever they see and then create their own thing and think that we support like pills and shit, and we never really talked about that in our music, so that was never a thing. So then there's Flabber Zombie fans that like perks and bikes and oxys, and then they end up overdosing and shit or fentanyl or something, and that shit hurts because that was never our message.
You know, it's fucked up because the only music that I ever liked that and ever talked about that type of shit, and I'm gonna be honest with you, was the other Juice WRLD.
I told you I'm on the Jew Palestine tape. Y'all just said Jews. Sorry. Yeah. Shout out Juice WRLD. Rest in peace. Shout out Juice WRLD.
Funny as hell, bro. I fuck with you, though, dog. Because you're open, like you're free spirited, you know?
I almost didn't want to come up here at first because my album is called Love Without Conditions. Mm-hmm. And I've been following you for a minute.
Yeah.
And lately, I come on here and you are trashing these motherfucking chicks out here. Mm-hmm. And you would probably say it as maybe they deserved it. Maybe they're not handling themselves the right way.
Do we call it trashing or enlightenment?
That's why I say you're going to call it enlightenment. For me, I am so sensitive towards that shit because I'm on a movement right now where it's like maybe some of those women are like that because of what we put them through as men in society. Mm-hmm. Not you specifically or me specifically, but yeah, I have definitely done some fucked up shit and I'm so off of that. So it hurts to see infidelity these days in crazy ways. It hurts to even see the conversations you have with people.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what was said at this point. It's the way it made me feel at the time.
Yeah.
And that shit, and it hurts because I'm on such a love movement and women need to be free. I'm in like, fuck controlling women. I think a problem men have is they want to control women.
Yeah.
If that's your line of business, work that business. But when it's a relationship status, don't control your fucking wife to that degree or your girlfriend sometimes.
Right.
If you're out here playing play, but don't fucking lie, too. Don't lie and play, too. But what were you going to say?
You know, Okay.
Love women. Love women, Sharpie. I know you love women, but love women, Sharpie.
Let's unpack the lunch here, okay?
Go for
just
it.
So you can have a better understanding.
Yeah.
What I do with some of these women, bro, I just try to help them catch up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I miss that old school strong woman, man. The woman with a good mindset, a strong mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I can lean on her sometimes, mm-hmm. maybe not all the time. But if the going gets tough and it gets fucked up, I want to know that a chick that I'm with or I'm around can make a sound decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not move out of emotion, not just run your mouth just to be running your mouth, but know how to make a sound decision. I miss those kind of women. People can sit there and say that and this is real, bro. I want to put this on the record. People can say that I hate women. I don't like women.
Mm-hmm.
Dog. I gave my life to women for 20 years.
That's what I said. Business.
I gave my life. I could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
I could have did anything, but I chose. I had to choose too. It's all a choice. I chose to give my life to women, man.
Yeah.
So when I see women that are doing disappointing shit or saying shit that doesn't make any sense, I'm gonna speak up on it, bro. Mm-hmm. It has to be said, whether they like me or not. And a lot of these chicks, man, some of the ones that I've interviewed, see, you don't know, like behind the scenes, still talk to me to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Have still, hey, thank you for everything. Like, for real, you helped me see, like, really wake my game up. One girl, Kazumi, she was like, man, I've been meaning to thank Sharp. He really helped me step my game up. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. Number one, it's my voice. My voice is raspy. And then I'm passionate.
The tone.
You mix those together, especially for the modern day society. They is soft. So they're gonna take it as aggression, not passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not somebody who's really standing on their principles and standing on who they are. I'm a person that stands on who I am. When it comes to females, I just want to see them have a man. Come on, like, catch up, babe. I don't like sitting around dumb women or women that lack intelligence or knowledge. I like a strong woman, man. Mm. Like, teach me something, too. If we're going to sit at the round table and you're going to sit with me, you better bring something to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about money. We're not talking about drugs. We're not talking, no. Bring something to it. Bring something that I can carry with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, you said teaching is substance, so bring substance.
Bring some substance to it, you know? And like I said, I love women to death, man. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the mouths. Like, if you're going to talk like a man, that's unattractive to me. Walking and talking like a man is
so you don't like New York women?
I love, you know what, to be honest with you, I actually am very fond of New York women. It's the niggas that I ain't.
So
I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. Don't even like each other out there. So nigga, why the fuck? Like,
that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the chicks
that.
Actually be them. They're actually strong. Them's the type of women that I be talking about. Like, they'll let their man lead. I like a strong woman that's allowing me to lead.
So do you believe though that with all that being said, do you believe though that men are detrimental to the girl for women sometimes, and we are kind of holding them back, and they can kind of wild out because we wild out and we put them in those positions to wild out?
It could
can
be.
You at least agree on that?
It can be. Yeah, for sure. Just depends on the situation.
Depends on the situation.
It depends on the situation and the person that she's dealing with. But see, this is when I hop into the part of the conversation that I let her know, like, baby, this is your choice. You got to be smart
so many times.
Enough. You have to be smart enough to make the right decisions. You cannot choose the wrong person and then blame them.
Well, they can choose the wrong person once or twice, a little bit. Let them make some mistakes.
I
make mistakes.
But when I constantly keep sitting there fucking with the same bitch, right? Or like I'm having problems with the, like, different chicks and I'm going through these rigmaroles. When do I start to reevaluate the situation and say, hey, maybe this was me. Maybe it's something that I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
Women got to be able to do that, too. You got to be able to critique your character, too, baby. Don't just leave it to the man, because you'll always find yourself pointing fingers.
So
you'll live a life of pointing constantly.
So we're going to do the new No Jumper session, Love Without Conditions, and we just spread love to everybody. That's the conclusion.
I spread love to them.
Yeah.
I just spread love differently. My love is tough love. I believe in that. So, you know what I'm saying? And because you know why?
It's needed.
Tough love worked for me. You know how many people you'll see, they'd be like, man, I wish I had somebody to be on my ass coming up. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, like, care about me, like, kept a foot in my ass and kept me on a straight and narrow. Man, there's people, they're kids. That's why kids act out, because they fiend for that. people want to be around. Like, let me tell you something. There's some people that lead. There's some people that follow. Unfortunately, yeah. we have a world that where there's more followers than leaders.
Essentially, you want more women leaders and more women.
We need to balance it, man. Mm. We need to find the balance. I just want some women, just some.
So how do we teach these women to catch up to speed in a way where it don't look like
by embracing themselves truly and genuinely, not waking up to look at Instagram and Facebook to tell you how to live.
Oh, fuck that.
Or trying to, you know, you see somebody else going on a vacation or they're having money and they're spending money and they're living their life and you see all this and then you roll over to see your nigga. He might, you know what I'm saying, y'all might not be fortunate, but he just worked a 14-hour shift. Like, he's trying. He's trying to put it together. You know what I'm saying? And you wake up, I want to do this. Now you're tripping out on him. You're not even telling him the reason, really. You're just kind of tripping out on him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're not even open, like, hey, I really would like to take a trip, you know? And then once he says, well, we can stack up and do it. Well, I want to take one now. They're doing it. We can't live to somebody
tough,
else's
man.
Life.
It's tough. It's music. It's not only us men. It's music, too. Mm-hmm. They see, like you said on Instagram, they're seeing all this instant gratification everywhere. You know, it's hard for those strong, real relationships to grow.
It is. Music sucks these days, Juice. The music sucks these days. Like
we're not trying to sound like old niggas.
No, we're not. But I'm just saying the music from what I've seen it evolve, like it's different. It's not about being old. It's different when you've seen the music evolve. You know what I'm saying? And what it's evolved into. You mm-hmm. know, when have you heard somebody actually genuinely cut an R&B track? Like a real, like that old feel. You know what I'm saying? Like really yeah, brought some R&B to the mixture.
We do say it's missing it every day. But then there are dope artists that have a great tone, like a Giveon or something that will give you those reminiscences. But that old R&B feel is gone, partially, which is what we're talking about a little bit. The love frequency, not to sound like fucking Diddy, Jesus Christ.
Maybe that's the problem.
The love frequency is missing in a sense.
So you're answering it pretty much yourself. The love frequency, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's not around, yeah. you know? So people don't even know how to even, it's not being spread. That's not the main thing that they're teaching. No, they teach motherfuckers to go be ratchet.
And to come up
mm-hmm. and to get yours, you know? Mm-hmm. If you got to step on people to get there, do it.
And we need the balance. We need the balance. We need both sides. Yes, we do.
Hey, man.
We do,
but structure and balance is key.
Yeah. I struggle with that shit every day. I'm struggling with every day.
What do you struggle with?
Struggling between being an enlightened nigga and a nigga. Because here I am trying to tell you to love women more and not be so harsh on them. But then it's like, I've done shit too.
I love
But it's
them.
Like, we have to just shine light on that shit.
Juice,
we have to,
I love them.
No, I know.
I love them to death. I love women. I have women around.
That was the wrong word to say.
I have women around me all the time. I love them to death. You know, and like I said, I've had shit. I won't even speak on no names, but some of the chicks that I've roasted, man, shit, they done sent through the grapevine. Hey, tell Sharp I think he's fine and I want to fuck.
So I'm
just keeping it real with you, dog. We're going to throw it out there, like, just so some people can get some fucking clarity of what's really going on here.
Sharp loves women. You brought me somewhere. Hold on. All right. Me personally, my mother died when I was a few months old. Damn, I'm very curious. Did you have both of your parents growing up?
No, just my mom.
Wow. Were you guys like best friends?
Yeah, we were to a point. Yeah, for sure. You know, for me, it felt like my mom was more like, as I got a little older, like kind of like a sister, you know, kind of fucked up. But you know what I'm saying? I guess you got to find that within, you know, your parent. You got to find something, you know what I'm saying, to connect with them. And I didn't feel like it was a parent aspect. I felt more like it was like my older sister.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But shit, shout out to her.
I'm just always trying to, I feel like my mission is to get back to that place that I'm missing, that I never had.
Yeah.
That motherly love.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the place I'm trying to get to. So that's why these days I'm so cautious and aware of the trauma that I've caused to women. And again, I said the wrong word. He loves women. I'm sorry about that.
I do. I love.
That's
listen,
not what I mean,
man,
guys.
That's
I love word,
women.
Yeah.
I just try to tell them what's good, not what they want to hear for right now. Like, I want to tell you what you need to hear. I would want somebody to do that to me.
Yeah.
I'm only giving you what I would want somebody to give me. Like, I feel like that's the way it goes. Give me what I need, mm-hmm. not what I want to hear. Because probably what I want ain't going to do shit for me, and it's going to keep me in a fucked up mindset anyway.
Ah, shit, I wanted to say something. That's too much fucking words and talking about too much for other people. But I'll
say it
anyway.
Break it down.
I'll say it anyway.
Come on.
Do you like that Fresh and Fit podcast? Or do you think that shit is kind of weird? Do you think they kind of prey on women a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. My shit be genuine. Like, man, listen, and for people to know, I don't come in to purposely get into it with a chick. If she says something that I disagree with or I feel like, hey, I'm only telling you that shit ain't right 9 times out of 10 from experience. I'm not a young kid. So I'm well-traveled, well-experienced. You know what I'm saying? When it just comes to life. Maybe not being a fucking multimillionaire, maybe not fucking on a Fortune 500 business, but I'm well experienced in life. So when I hear something that's, hey, I've probably traveled down that road or have been around people that are like that. Here, I don't think this the way you should, hey, move like this. Nobody wants to accept knowledge anymore, man. They take it. You can give people knowledge. If they can't spend it right now at the mall, if they can't go in their car and listen to it, they don't want it. They put it in a closet and they let it collect dust.
Or post it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate when people say they don't want to learn or have too much. They don't want to learn.
I learn every day.
You got to learn every day to your dead. You learn every day to your dead. You have to.
All
the people
walks
that shut
life.
It off, I hate when people shut it off.
Yeah, all walks of life, Juice. You got to learn from all walks of life. Whether we never, if we're passing paths, I feel like it's a reason. It's never just because. You have to pull the message out of it. You know, and I feel like that's where a lot of people should get smarter, even chicks. Pull the message out of what I'm saying. Fuck me. Fuck who I am. Fuck what I look like. Fuck what I'm wearing. Doesn't matter. Pull the message out of it. And I promise you, you're going to feel 10 times better about being you when you can take things like that, throw in your own melting pot and apply it. That's real, man. We're supposed to learn. It's like, fuck, I'm not supposed to tell her nothing because she's pretty. I've had many pretty bitches, bro, and some of them be pretty bums. So that part doesn't even matter, you know? I don't look at it as prettiness. I look at it as like, man, if you're an idiot, you're a fucking idiot.
Good luck.
And you got to say it. You got to say it. If I'm being fucking dumb, I'd want a chick to tell me like, Sharp, that ain't right. Hard will tell me why it's not right. Well, this is how it goes. But for you, I want to dive enough of me, man, because I see where you're trying to go down this rabbit hole, and we can go down it for hours.
Oh, God.
What were some of your what were some of your influences early off in music?
Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got him tattooed right here. Biggie was like the first real nigga from Brooklyn to kind of change what it means to be flashy. Like, he brought the flash to the rap.
Yeah.
In New York. Like, you never seen a nigga drive around those cars or trying to have the Jesus pieces. You never seen that or dressing in that style. So he kind of put that style on the map. And that's the kind of era that I grew up seeing my older cousins and uncles listen to. So I got influenced by that. Yeah. All the music they had, I used to steal their tapes, go listen, steal their CDs, go listen. What is Wu-Tang Clan? They used to have like, all, you know what I mean? Like, that's
Shaw Wu-Tang, man.
That's where I grew up on. If I didn't have my uncles, my cousins to show me like music and culture, I don't know what I would have. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think you'd be?
I don't know, because growing up, I was a confused boy. I didn't get adopted until I was 7.
Oh, so you would...
I was always at a state of survival my whole life. I didn't know that growing up, but that's how I live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Always at a state of survival, man.
It's so you got adopted. Who'd you get adopted by?
Thank God my grandparents. Member? Thank God my grandparents.
Okay, I was about to say, was it a family member? Because it could have been.
Yeah, thank God my grandparents on my mom's side. But I don't know who my dad is. I don't know who that nigga is. No one knows who he is. I wish I had a name or some shit.
Damn.
He probably the reason why I have this fucking beard and shit, you know?
That's crazy, man.
But yeah, that's so. Without my uncles and my cousins in hip hop, I'd probably be a lost ass boy. I'm so thankful.
The longest beard I've ever seen.
Hopefully, nah. But one
that's
day,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I gotta keep it tucked and shit.
Damn, bro, yeah. Motherfucker like a weapon. You pull that motherfucker off and just pow and throw it back on and get moving.
Yeah,
shit,
it gets
bro.
In the way, so I just keep it away. But I love it. I keep it with me. It keeps me, I don't know, grounded in a sense.
You must be mixed with something, because that motherfucker's long.
Yeah.
You ain't just full nigga. You something.
Exactly.
You something else.
I think part of me not knowing that also keeps me alive, too.
Right.
Because it keeps me missing something, which is wanting something, which is kind of torture. Damn, I like torture.
You'll laugh. It's fucking crazy.
I like torture in a way. That's fucked up, but yeah.
So you don't even know. You don't even know what race he is. You don't know.
Nah, they claim he's just somebody in Brownsville, and no one knows. And by the time that I found out that my great grandma knew, she had dementia. Yeah. So she couldn't tell me a goddamn thing. So and then my Aunt Marie probably knows, but she be acting like she don't know, but she don't know. So what's whatever?
It's, I don't know. I feel like for nobody to know, and then you feel like somebody does, and they're acting like they're just.
I had to get over that too. I had to get over that too, or just believe it. I had to believe everybody. You know?
That would piss me off a little bit though. Like, Monty, like, you know, my mom isn't. My mom's gone. I'll never see her again, you know? I got a dad, and you're not even going to tell me who he is?
Yeah, I always felt like there was more closure growing up, but actually, I had all the closure. It was just something I had to learn. Yeah.
Like you bleed it through your music?
Hell yeah, that's why I named the album Love Without Conditions. Yeah. And on the last track called Mindful, I secretly recorded my grandma, and she's like telling me for the first time a full story about my mom and how I got adopted and how she died the night she died. So for the first time that I heard some of those stories and things, and that she used to do drugs also with my grandfather. So for the first time I heard those things, I recorded it and I put it on the album so y'all could all experience it with me kind of for the first time. And surprisingly, one of the biggest responses I got from the album is Mindful made me cry. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, bleeding through the music, that's all I got. That's all we can do. I'm an artist, that's all it is. I don't got nothing. I was going to come here in shorts that I wore for the last 3 days and the same shirt I had on for 2 days. I bleed through the music, bro. Yeah.
Have you been, you been making music the last couple of days as well? Is that why you haven't wanting to change your time?
No, nigga, I've been in Israel and Palestine for the last 3 days.
Mentally?
Yeah.
You've been mentally there?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of movies and stuff you like? I see some of your music's influence behind that
by,
as well.
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick, shout out to him. George Romero, zombie shit.
What's that, 2001 A Space Odyssey and yep. 3001?
Yeah, yeah. 2001 A Space Odyssey is the film. And Stanley Kubrick is just like one of those dudes that can visually, audio, just capture you in so many different ways. The way he shoots things, his perspectives are just fucking mind-boggling. So we had this interesting acid trip one day at the trap called the Palace back in Flatbush, and I was selling acid there at the time, and I used to like say an average hit, you take one hit, you're good. If you take three hits, you're out of there. So I used to tell people, I'm selling them one hit, give them three, so every time someone would come to me, they go out of here, and they'll come back like I had the most profound shit ever, because I didn't want them to just have a regular one dose trip. I'm fucked up, sorry. So anyway,
were you fucked up giving them this as well?
No,
I know
you're
fucked up for it,
yeah.
But I'm saying, were you fucked up doing this? Like, man, fuck it, man. You want to get it faded like me?
Nah, I was always a good, sober-minded businessman at times. So one day we were all in the crib and we took too much of that fucking liquid. Shout out to the Portland liquid at the time. It was from Portland. And we took this fucking Portland liquid and we watched Clockwork Orange, another Stanley Kubrick film. And we tripped fucking balls. And it was one of the best experiences, most intense experiences I ever had in my life watching that movie. So that kind of started that whole 3001 thing. Like that day, that trip solidified Stanley Kubrick and acid and our friendship or some shit. And then later on, like I said, we had this group called the Beast Coast. We formed a mini group in that with Flatwood Zombies and Underachievers, and we called it Clockwork Indigo. The Indigo for Indigo Children and the Clockwork for the Stanley Kubrick movie.
Tell me
movie.
About that collab. Like how y'all came together on that one.
What's got?
Tell them the story about how we had to take all the acid because the police put the tour bus
over. You look like you did acid.
Marlo, you tell the come tell the story. You tell the story.
No. I wish everybody could see this dude. This dude looked like he
this
does.
This is the one day he has
a
his hair
lot
up.
Of acid.
I know. I'm not getting a camera either. We were on tour. The police officer claims he knew who we were.
Yeah.
And Sour Patch Kids that we had on
Lord.
Weren't Sour Patch Kids.
So they're acid. Said,
well, yeah. If they are, everyone just eat them.
Yeah, and then we had to take the acid because he tests the bluff, yeah. Yeah. The cop tests our bluff, so we had to take the acid on tour, yeah.
So that you're happens. Sitting there eating them.
Yeah. It happens.
It happens. Did you guys get out of the mixture of it?
Oh, of course. Always get out of the mixture for the most part. Always, yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, y'all didn't start tripping balls in front of him, did you?
Oh, no. It takes an hour to set it. At least An hour to set in.
So y'all were like, all right, man, you done? Yeah. We got to go.
Yeah, it takes an hour to set in. So to touch a little bit on the Clockwork Indigo thing.
Yeah.
So the Underachievers are Issa Gold, also known as Marlon Dash. Mm-hmm. Dash stands for Drug Addicted Soul Hunters. Remember I was telling you we love sneakers back in the day. So yeah. Soul Hunters, Sneaker Hunter, whatever.
Yeah.
And AK, the Savior, and the Flatbush Zombies. That's Clockwork Indigo. We all grew up in Flatbush, literally together our whole lives. And me and Issa from London Achievers, we were the first ones to do the psychedelics in our friend group. And it was a time when everybody looked at us crazy. And then next thing you know, we had gangsters doing shrooms in Flatbush. But we had to kind of break that barrier. And when we started breaking the barrier, everyone kind of like was like, okay, I'm not scared to do this. Let's have fun. Let's push our limits. Let's push our minds. Let's have fun with this. That's kind of what we thought we were doing, pushing our minds. It was like a science experiment. How much acid can we take today? And where can we go with it? How can we like leave our bodies? Where can we go? Type dumb shit. I don't know.
Bro, what the fuck? Like, why do you want to leave your body? Do you know you can get somebody can
we
come
were kids,
and steal
we
it?
We were young. We were kids.
You don't leave your body. Somebody can come steal it.
Exactly. If you're not know? Protected and you come try to on. Do spiritual shit, you can get caught up.
Fuck around, end up on somebody's island.
Exactly.
Wake not, up. No, let me stop.
You, why you had to say island?
Island?
This nigga said island. You know I'm going to think about the Epstein Island. And then you know I'm going to think about the fucked up island boys.
You said it. No, you said it. I might have thought it, but you said it.
Yeah.
I was like, you fuck around, wake up on an island, bro.
Yeah, but.
You don't want to be there.
We, I don't know. We thought we were superheroes. We were manifesting things left and right. That was another weird thing. Like, we were just like, today, this is going to happen. We're going to see this person here. I'm going to meet you here. We used to like talk without, we used to like meet up without connecting on the phone, like me and Issa. Like we just manifest money, just manifest opportunities. This was just a really interesting time in life. We were like 17, 18, just experimenting with these psychedelics, experimenting with self-love and manifestation.
Yeah.
And I remember one day we said, if the Giants could win this Super Bowl, our lives are going to change and we're going to fucking get out of this fucked up situation that we're in. And the Giants won that fucking Super Bowl.
What do you feel like them winning got you out of the hole?
Yeah, because we were so like buffed up on manifestation and magic and, you know, that free spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were just like connected that to that. There's no coincidences. We said the Giants are going to win this fucking year. We're going to win the Super Bowl and we fucking won.
I swear, man, you probably lived late 60s, 70s. You were already a grown adult because you definitely are like that old-fashioned hippie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I've heard
you don't believe in
that,
you
know what I'm saying?
Saying? Like,
that's what they just, say.
Like, you remind me of like that old, like that real, like, come on, you want to take a trip? You was the man in Woodstock.
That's what
you know
say.
What I'm saying? Like
the man in Woodstock, the man in Flatbush.
You've been around before,
in
bro.
Hell and beyond.
Yeah. That's live, man. Like for you in the music, like when do you feel like it started to really take off for you?
Well, let's tell Flatbush. The story. Let's tell the story.
Yeah. I'm curious
it
to know
the story. So I know now that this movement and what we got is unique. What we're doing is different for people from Flatbush. That's why it's so weird. I say, you know what? I want to become a rapper. I want to make music. So I'm like, Meech, you trying to do this shit too? He's like, all right. Eric already has been making music. He's been making beats already since like he was 13. Like he's been doing this. So we had at least a professional or he wouldn't call us a professional then, but to me, he was Kanye West. We had Kanye West in our corner.
Yeah.
All we had to do was learn. So we learned for like 2 years just writing and practicing. And we released maybe 2 songs sharp on our Tumblr and maybe 1 feature for Eric. And we shot 1 music video. And after that first music video, we instantly had 1 million views. And Lana Del Rey was like, I love Flapper Zombies. And then the Vice came to my trap house. And yeah, that's how it happened instantly.
Slow it down. Yeah, run it back.
All right.
Because I want to know why it even right. led up to the Vice coming and hitting the dough. You know?
Talk about the video? It's just I told some of the story so much, I'm trying to get through it. All right. This nigga said talk about the t-shirt. All right, so. All right, My bad. You right, cuh. You right, cuh. My bad, cuh.
My bad, cuh. He got a lot of personalities. I like them. They all come out to play. I notice.
All right, so this amazing ass fucking logo, this Flatbush Zombie logo, we call it the OG logo, right? Mm. That was our movement. Before the actual like rap blew off, me and Meech printed these fucking Flatbush Zombie shirts and we sold them in the hood on some sell the CDs out your trunk type shit.
Yeah.
So we were selling
push, good old days.
Yeah, we were selling pushing the movement already. So in this music video, there's like I bring pounds of weed. I bring tons of waffles. We bring acid. We got the dye hair. We got the gold fangs or whatever. Yeah. And this is, like I said, this is the first time someone's seen this shit really in a music video. And from some niggas from the East Coast in Flatbush.
That's different as fuck.
This was 2012, the beginning of 2012, literally, when we did this. So that's kind of why Vice was knocking at the door. Why people were like, what the fuck is going on? Who are these niggas? What the fuck is going on in Flatbush Avenue right now? Because this is not what we thought was happening here in Flatbush. This doesn't correspond with baggy ass jeans and Tim's. You know what I mean? Even though we still wore those, but it don't correspond.
They say the bush. They say that's a little rough area, brother.
Yeah.
They say it's rough up there.
Yeah, and you know, we started just getting cosigned. Not really cosigned because niggas was still scared of us, but we started getting a little cosigns from people. Like Lana Del Rey was like the first one, and rest in peace, A$AP Yams. He's been one of our friends since before the music. I used to call him up and rap to him before any of this shit. And be like, yo, Yams, is that fire? He used to have the radio station. He used to make the mixtape. So that was one of my good friends, Eastside Stevie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we also had A$AP back in the day. We did this dope-ass record called Bath Salts in 2012. That was a good.
Were you smoking bath salts, bro?
No, but the
because there are people that were, and
no,
you don't see
Sharp,
like
I ain't no crackhead.
You wouldn't mind like fucking out and took some trips.
Nah, that's why I'm trying to let y'all know psychedelics are not drugs.
Yeah,
psychedelics are, you know, more earthly. Shrooms are from the earth. You know what I mean?
Other than the vice trying to get in your business, was there anybody else that felt like you were promoting the use of LSD?
Everybody was confused and thought we were promoting LSD. Are you typed in LSD back in those times? Our feature would pop up.
Wow.
Yeah. Literally.
And it didn't stop anything with the success, obviously. Rappers
were scared to work with us, but companies and organizations loved us. We had a Bape collab. We had a Stussy collab.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
Two major brands.
Yeah.
Off the dribble.
Yeah. Went to Japan, shut it down. Huh?
What'd you do for the Bape collab?
So for the Bape New York collab, we turned the Bape and Ape to Biggie Smalls. We put the Jesus piece on him in the crown with the Versace's.
Which I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's a very popular t-shirt.
Yeah. Hell yeah. But
you say you did for Stussy as well?
Yeah, that was Stussy
like
was first
Stussy.
And then Bape.
Stussy was the shit.
Yeah, Stussy was first and then Bape.
What'd you do for Stussy?
Zombie logo with a little hippie flair to it with the peace sign on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like rappers were afraid to work with you? What was the problem?
Because it was different and it was scary. But shout out to nigga like the RZA on that first year, put us on his soundtrack for the Iron Fist. You know, shout out to Smoke. There's a, you know, he took us on our first tour.
Fuck with Smoke. I've actually interviewed Smoke.
Yeah. He took us on our first tour. He's the man.
Dude, and that dude can rap, man. He put out that last project. And like you said, like, it's all like trippy, psychedelic shit. Like even like his visualizer, like it's just all a melting pot and you just see people popping out of it.
Smokers Club, it's that vibe.
Smokers Club, it's that vibe, man. It's definitely different.
That's my OG, he's the man. I love Smoke. He's the first one to take a chance on us and put us in that role and put us on that stage. Another funny story. We got booed one time, opening up for Slaughterhouse at Best Buy Theater. Yeah, we got booed one time opening up for Slaughterhouse. We weren't supposed to be on this show, but they needed a favor. Mm-hmm. And we had just came off of a hot streak selling out all across the fucking world. And we come back to this fucking shitty-ass New York show and to open up for Slaughterhouse. And we got booed. And this was early on in our career. And we just fucking took that shit and rapped through it.
It's got to be fucked up, though, right?
It made the best of it. Yeah, it was fucked up.
Like, to the city.
Yeah, it was fucked
and
up.
And get booed in the city.
Mm-hmm. It was fucked up.
You know?
And then a year later, we sold out that same venue.
Yeah. Bet you got a laugh, a chuckle out of that one, didn't you?
I had to. But yeah, it was good.
That's dope. But it's got to be fucked up because you're going clear across the world. Everybody's fucking with mm-hmm. you. Coming off this high, and not just acid high, but just you know what I'm saying, this high, man, this euphoric feeling, you know, to come back and to be booed opening up for Slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm. But we knew it was weird. We knew it wasn't our crowd. It was just like, all right, well, people need us, we'll show up, period.
But, I mean, you never really know if it's you don't know if it's your crowd or not if you don't perform. Like,
exactly.
If you don't go up there and see. Because exactly. Like you said, you've done some shows, you know, and the crowd rocked with you that mm-hmm. you didn't even expect. So I guess it's mm-hmm. a gamble all the way around.
It is. And then after hearing everybody say, oh, no, that's how it is with those Eminem Joe Budden fans. I felt better. I was like, oh, okay. I knew I didn't suck that. No.
You did a cover of your beautiful. Yeah. What made you do a version of that song specifically?
One of my favorite songs growing up as a kid, and I really love acoustic music. I love John Mayer. I love Jason Mraz. I love shit like that. So I practiced a couple songs. I practiced some John Mayer. I practiced some Stevie Wonder. I practiced some James Blunt. I practiced some Jason Mraz. But the You're Beautiful was the one I thought sounded the best, and it also resonated with life right now,
yeah.
with love for me right now, in a sense. So that's it. Just opened my heart. So that's why I picked that one.
You plan on doing any more covers like that?
Everyone keeps telling me I should be the cover king at this point, but I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Could be your call. Hey man, it could be. It's a new lane. You know, mm-hmm. you seem like you like to jump into new ventures. You know, so I feel like you really.
People say that I'm a singer. I need more, you know, practice. And this was the stepping stone to get into that world.
Yeah. Got anything on your mind? Anybody that you feel like, I think I could do that just a little bit better. Just a little bit, you know? You got that vibe about you. Like, if you know you can do a little better, you're going to do it. You're going to say it. See, you're going to be open about it. Come on. Don't hide
as
it. You really want to say that.
As far
yes.
as singing? Nah. I don't know about that. As far as rapping, I think Flappy Zombies, including myself, is top three hip-hop groups of the last decade and generation off top. I know that. And I think we're the best. I know that. But as far as singing, I don't look at it like that. I'm just trying to change moods and feelings. I ain't trying to compete with these R&B niggas.
You
I
don't
can't
have
dance.
To.
I can't dance.
Let's think about some of the people that are singing today. And I'm not talking about everybody, but let's just think about some of the, man, it's auto-tuned everything. And I love auto-tuned.
Okay.
I love the.
Okay, Sharp. Here we go.
Let's go. Come on, let's go.
Here we go. I do not fuck with auto-tune like that, especially with singing. And that is partially why I had to pick a song like You're Beautiful, because you have to really show your vocal tunes. There ain't no fucking auto-tune on there. Barely a fucking reverb on the bitch. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't fuck with the auto-tune shit like that. And I don't fuck with the fuck bitches shit like that on the R&B records, because it's not the love frequency. So even though You're Beautiful is an R&B, it's still a love frequency. And it's showing love without conditions. So, yeah.
So you say if you could sing, but you like, I don't know if I could take it. Like, you just knew you could do this one. You probably
I could do that one. And I didn't want to do what these other niggas do. Like you said, I don't want to do auto-tune shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I feel like that's what's kind of watered it down to who sings these days. Man, we might need you, man. You might be our savior.
But the reason why, thank you. But the reason why I'm like, I can't say names, because Sharp, I be in this little ass box, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to, like, Cleo Soul and shit. I don't really pay attention to nobody. I'm happy I found out who Giveon was.
Yeah.
I just now started listening to Frank Ocean 2 years ago. It's not a diss to anybody. It's just I be in my own world.
I like Giveon.
I be in my soul and world.
I like Giveon. I like Frank Ocean. You know, man, talented people.
Amazing.
Very talented.
Amazing.
Did you work with them?
Hell yeah. Hell fucking yeah.
What if they told you, like, man, look, Juice, we need you to sing on this, man.
I'll sing and they can write it. I don't give a fuck. But rapping, I'm writing my own shit. But singing, I'm open to anything. Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you guys performed together as Flatbush Zombies?
Oh.
First show. Yeah, you got to. We're going back in the time.
Venue? What's the name of that venue? Southpaw, legendary venue in Brooklyn. Southpaw. We were the last show at Southpaw. They made us run back Thug Waffle, which was our first single in that video I was telling you guys about. They made us run that back about 5 times because we barely had any songs. We probably performed like 2 other songs that night. So we retired the legendary venue, South Hall. For some reason, Foxy Brown got word that we was there. She pulled up. Playing Pat pulled up. My baby mama was there. But yeah, my baby mama was there. Whole hood was there. Niggas that I went to school with that I didn't even know fuck with me like that was there. Like, everyone was there. And it was a legendary night. And then we took the dollar van back home.
Yeah, that was it for it.
It was beautiful. Thug Waffle 5 times. It was like niggas in Paris out there.
No acid?
No, I don't think so. I was just high off life.
You ever? I gotta ask you this one, because I gotta know, because I know you go on trips. Mm-hmm. You know, has there ever been a time where you packed too much luggage and been on a show and had to do a show? And what I mean by that is, probably did a little too much. Now you up on stage and you kind of like, whoa.
No,
you ain't never like tripped the fuck out. Like, whoa, hold on. It's too much.
I remember we forced this nigga and all his homies to do acid at the LA show back, our first LA show in Halloween we did. And that wasn't baby steps either, but we wasn't too high enough ever. The smoke Dizzitor we did on acid. We wasn't too high at all. And these micros again, every day I performed on that prof tour, I started to set off with like 4 of these bitches just to wet it up. But yeah. Yeah.
So you haven't had no problems.
No problems.
Like, shit, I vibe up.
I don't really know what a bad trip is.
Yeah.
And I don't force myself to overdo it either.
Yeah.
Because I know what that's like too.
Are there some that you don't remember?
Everything, because everything is like one big trip. I literally, that's why you telling me to say, because I don't remember shit. You're telling me, I'm like picking up. There's like a whole part of my life I don't remember. Like, literally, how many times do I hang out with you and be like, oh shit, I did that? We did that? I did that?
You never done acid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I have my memory blank. My memory's faint. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the sugar cubes?
Yep. A little good sugar cube.
Yeah. Good sugar cubes. That's old school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You never fucked with it? I ain't like it. Strong. Some shit, let me tell you something, bro, and I'm going to be honest. Some shit's not
Altoid
for niggas,
cases.
Bro. Some shit's just not for niggas.
Altoid cases. Some shit's not for niggas, yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, fuck.
Mm-hmm. I still try to learn at this day. I don't like to push anything on anybody.
Yeah. I got to ask, man, like, do you even remember your career?
Yeah. I remember.
Like, do you?
Some things it's just hard to remember all the details. Cause yeah. I spent a lot of time on the road. Like we sold a lot of tickets. I think we've been on like 4 worldwide sold out tours, bro, from 2012 till COVID.
Right.
Like, so I spent 75% of the time on the road.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, every day I'm just so used to being on the road, and every day, and just like every day is a new day. Boom, 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 boom. Like, I spent so much time instead of tape. I took in a lot, but I was just like workhorse vibe. And I'm happy that like shit like COVID happened for me to take a step back and be home and like really take things in. Cause I was always like in this work mode kind of stage.
Cause
not always good to do that.
I mean, it's not. And like I said, you've obviously made it, man. You know, you one of the top groups, you know. I just wanted to know, do you even, like, you remember some of the shit, yeah, but do you, like, just remember even taking them trips, seeing different things over, just going around the world, man, them are experiences, you know what I'm saying? They ain't just you going and doing shows, you know, that shit's a part of your life.
So I had to slow down and take it in and start taking more walks before shows and shit like that. Yeah.
You feel like COVID's what, like kind of, do you feel like it's slowed you guys down? Like, or do you feel like, you know, it's
not slowed us down,
small
just
break.
Opened us up.
Yeah.
The small break is good, but also opened us up to more of ourselves, which is what's needed when you're in a marriage.
Yeah.
I call it a marriage because it's a group.
Well, I mean, you guys have known each other for a long ass time, man. Mm-hmm. You know, what's made you want to get on your own project?
I think all of us have a certain message that we wanted to get across. And sometimes it's hard to do that all in the same song.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it all for so long. We deserve our own Spotify's and our own YouTube pages and our own videos and our own, you know, albums. Yeah. So, like, even though Meech is on my album, Meech's album is called Gothic Luxury. And it's right. a very more dark undertone.
My so album, so you know what it's mean? Not it's because different. You and Meech and you, know, you guys have any type of issues or yeah. anything to feel like, well, since we got issues, maybe it's time for us to part ways.
Mm-hmm. You know? Nah, nah, there's okay. no issues. It's just Meech put his album out first. Then I put my album out. Eric didn't put his out yet. Yeah. We all had to have our moments. We all got to shine. We all got to have our message first.
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to group shit.
For my last question that I want to know, like, what's the overall, and I know you got a good answer for me, and I'm sure the viewers want to know,
yeah.
like, what's the overall message that you as Juice want to put out, you know, besides mm-hmm. Flatbush, you know yeah. what I'm saying, and just leaving that to the side for a second and letting that mm-hmm. on ice, what message do you want the people, like, what are you trying to teach?
Love yourself. Please be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Every day is hard. We're all going through it. We're all struggling. But we can't be so hard on ourselves. Like you said, stop. Smell what's going on. Take in everything. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be yourself. It's okay to not be cool. It's okay to not have everything. Yeah. It's okay to want things.
Yeah.
It's okay to get there when you get there. Everything doesn't happen for everybody as fast. Everybody has their own story. God has his own plan for you. I just want each other to start loving unconditionally, non-transactional. I make sure that everything I do is non-transactional. I make sure the love that I give, non-transactional. That's what I want you guys to understand. Love is non-transactional, and I want you guys to love yourselves at that. I'm not just talking about other people and how you treat other people. And loving yourself isn't just saying that you love yourself. Loving yourself is taking the time to be self-disciplined, to set goals for yourself and abide by them and rules, man, and setting boundaries for yourself and other people. And it's an everyday struggle doing it. And I know it's hard because I'm trying every day too. But I just want you guys to know that no matter what it looks like I have or what I got, I'm just like y'all. And I want you guys to take this shit serious because this life is all we have, our one life. And we're lucky. As much as I hate America, we're blessed to be in America and have, you know, kind of freedom to do certain things. And just to be amongst people of all kinds and not be at war like the places we spoke of earlier. And so let's take that time. Get off the fucking phone, like Sharp's been saying. You know, black out the noise. What is it going to take for us as a people and ourselves to grow?
Sometimes turn the TV off and just get in tune with yourself.
Yeah.
Just sit back sometimes. Like me personally, I like to sit like in the backyard or something under the trees, smoke. Get grounded.
Get grounded. Put your feet in the
get
dirt.
Get grounded,
pause.
Man.
Put your feet in the dirt. Pause.
Yeah.
Get grounded.
Get grounded, man.
That's really all I try to say. And don't be scared to be different. Like I said, push the limits. Don't abide by the rules, make your own rules, and that's what we do.
Well, I want you to know I appreciate you for coming through, man. And me and you, we definitely gonna have to party sometime and hang out.
Please do.
Most
I like
definitely.
Tequila.
I love that, you know what I'm saying, you came through and you dropped some knowledge on us. You let us know who you are, where you're coming from, and where you're headed.
Yeah.
That to me, like I said always, man, it always makes for a perfect interview. It ain't
Thank
even
you.
An interview. It's more of just a good conversation.
Thank you.
You ever want to come back and come sit down with me, man? I more than, hey, man, love to have you.
I'm here if you guys need a weird nigga. Suck my dick.
We got a couple of them that work here. Don't worry, bro. The Sharp Tank. No joke. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. Hey, Donnie, do me a favor and shoot us out the motherfucking gym.